In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. St. John Chrysostom and the Blessed Theophylact seem to agree about this particular young man, that this man was sincere in his desire for eternal life. Now, there are other occasions when someone has come up to Jesus and has asked this question. Sometimes people combine them and they say, well, it must have been the same person, even though different gospel writers are writing about it. The situations are so similar. But in other occasions that we've heard of, it was a lawyer who came up. And the gospel writer mentions that he was seeking to entrap Jesus. What must I do? How may I fulfill these commandments? But in this case, this man who is identified by St. Luke as a ruler and later on as a very rich man runs up to Jesus, bows down at his feet, and asks his question. Good teacher, what must I do in order to inherit eternal life? And Jesus' first response has to do with what the man has called him. Why do you call me good? Why do you call me a good teacher? Theophylact interprets this in the following way. If you call someone a good teacher, then you are distinguishing between the good teachers and the bad teachers, and this is a good one. And the point is that if you call someone a good teacher, you're assuming there are many teachers. There are many teachers, and this is the good teacher that you have come to. And Jesus responds, only God is good. He uses good in a different kind of way. It's not a comparative, well, this is a better teaching, or that is a worse teaching, and this teacher is the teacher that has the best teaching, the one that will work, the most practical. Jesus rejects that way of understanding things. Only God is good. Only God is good. A good man is a good man, not by himself, not in and of himself. The goodness doesn't come from him. All goodness comes from God. Only God is good. If we are good, it is with God's goodness. If we are good, it's because our life shares in the goodness of God, by living the goodness of God in our own life. The teaching of synergy is behind this way of understanding things. Good isn't a matter of comparison, of better or worse, what is more pleasurable or less pleasurable, or more practical or less practical. God is good. We are created in the image and likeness of God, and we can be good only by sharing God's own goodness, God's own life. So, if the man is going to call Jesus good, he would have to acknowledge and recognize that he is God. And there's some irony there. Jesus is seeing into this man's heart. Chrysostom and Theophylact both agree that this man is sincere, and that when Jesus looks upon this man, he loves him. He loves him in spite of the fact that he knows very well that this is a man whose problem is that he has a great love of money. He is a ruler, he is wealthy, and Theophylact even says that he comes to Jesus hoping that this good and best teacher can teach him how to have eternal life with his love of money. He wants to enter into the kingdom of God, but with his love of money intact. And that's what can't be, because the teaching that Jesus gives the man is the teaching of non-possession. Non-possession. The man needs to be dealt with spiritually in an authoritative kind of way. Jesus sees that he wants eternal life. He is sincere. And as a physician, as a spiritual physician, he does what is necessary. He says, in your case, you must give away everything that you have. You must learn non-possessiveness. Whether we have wealth or whether we have very little money, non-possessiveness is the key. Because, you know, it is not only, of course, those like this man who have great wealth who love money. There are those who have no money at all. And yet their love of money puts them in exactly the same spiritual situation as this man. It's not about what you have or what you don't have. It's about your possessiveness about what you have. Love of money is the root of all evil, it says in the Old Covenant. Something we need to take into account here, too, is the nature of what we mean when we say money. We don't just mean what was the coin of the realm in the first century, the gold, or the shekels, or the drachma, whatever it was, whoever it was minted by. You can make a kind of an opposite comparison, I think, between the use of the term money in Scripture and water. When we talk about water, and I try to explain baptism to those who aren't Orthodox, I point out that as a cleanser of all things, water is the universal solvent. It dissolves more things than anything else into itself. And so it has this cleansing power. When we talk about water, we're talking about the cleansing power of water. And then we lift that up an octave to a higher level. And we talk about the power of the baptismal waters to cleanse our sins. Well, if water is the universal solvent, it seems to me that money is the universal coagulant. Money is coagulated wealth, stuff of the world, whatever it happens to be. If you're in the first century, it may be agricultural wealth. In the 21st century, it may be all of those numbers in a computer somewhere that represent wealth. But whatever it is, whatever the coin of the realm is, whatever wealth is for us, and it could even be lust for and the desire of having a wealth of any kind, not necessarily what we can buy at the supermarket or at the department store. There are other kinds of wealth, but it is the medium of exchange. If you have it, you can get what you want. It gives you a worldly influence and a worldly power that goes beyond your spiritual value, your ultimate value, because that is the nature of ultimate value, after all. We are Christians, and the one who is of ultimate value is Jesus Christ, the one who has the treasure houses and the stores of true wealth is God himself. When we talk about laying treasure up for ourselves in heaven, we are talking about exchanging mere material and worldly wealth for wealth of a spiritual kind, converting it from the coin of the realm of this world into the coin of the realm of the ultimate truth of the world as it truly is. Human beings are created in the image and likeness of God. Our true value has to do with our relationship to God. And so it is possible to convert the wealth of the world into spiritual wealth, as Saint Seraphim of Sarov talks about. In any exchange with another person, make sure that you make spiritual profit. But this man thinks of himself as someone who has great influence, great power, a ruler. It all has to do with the kind of wealth that he has. And even though he may be sincere in wanting to have eternal life, he also wants an eternal life that is an eternal life of the kind of value that he values. That has got to be eternal in some kind of way. And we might realize that there is a great deal of this around us, especially in our 21st century American society, and certainly not excluding those who think of themselves as Christians. If when we think of eternal life, we think of an eternal life where our evaluation of things can remain intact in whatever worldly sense it might be, in terms of the values of the world, in terms of the things of the world that give us happiness. If that is what we are looking forward to, having that last forever, then we are in exactly the same situation as this wealthy ruler who wants to enter into eternal life with his love of money intact. We can't enter into the kingdom of heaven with our love of the things of the world intact. We say, you can't take it with you. Anyone would be willing to admit that. Sometimes those who are wealthy want to hand down their wealth to following generations and have a kind of sense that at least it's kept together, it's kept in the family, it's handed down, and you have a generation of wealthy people. And so you can't take it with you, but you can give it to your relatives. You can't take it with you. Well, there is something that you can take with you, and that's unfortunate. You can take with you your love of money. You can take with you your love of the things of the world. The problem isn't the money. The problem is the love of the root of all evil, the lust for the world that began the fall in the beginning. The lesson that Jesus is teaching is a lesson of non-possession, a lesson of non-possession. What we have, God has given us, and we ought not to make ourselves into the kind of being that builds ourselves up out of the things of the world and the love of them rather than the love of God. That's the bottom line. You know, when we use that term, the bottom line, that isn't what we usually mean. But as Christians, that's what it means for us. That ultimately, our love of God has got to be the deepest love that is in us. And that's the tragedy of this young ruler that comes to Jesus. Because even though Chrysostom and Theophylact both see, as Jesus saw when he looked on this man, a man that he loved and a man that he felt for, because this man wanted to enter into the kingdom of God, wanted eternal life, but he is bound by his love of money. He is bound by this love. And in the end, when Jesus tries to break him free of that love of money, based on a greater love of eternal life, the man is sorrowful and he turns away. It's a critical moment. Who wants eternal life as a pauper? That would be the worldly way of understanding it. Who wants eternal life as a pauper? Theophylact says, no one wants eternal life more than a rich man. No one wants eternal life more than those who have a great deal of the things of this world and are happy with those things. And they expect that heaven would be a place where you would have all of those things. Our imagination of heaven is so worldly, it's incredible. Heaven paved in gold. And yet the Christian teaching has to do exactly with non-possession. And if we go beyond this life with our love of the things of this world intact, expecting heaven is going to be a place where all of that is fulfilled, and we have some kind of a stamp, eternal security, we're in for a big shock, if that's how we understand things. Because Jesus has taught from the beginning that you have to give up all of the things of this world that you love. Love God with all your heart, mind, soul, strength, and your neighbor as yourself. And whatever you have that is beyond what you need to distribute it. Be a good steward of the wealth that God has given you and share it with those who don't have any. The teachings of the Christian faith are very clear when it comes to these things. The choice between the love of the world and the love of God and eternal life is very clearly shown in this story of the rich ruler that came to Jesus and in the end chose to turn away from God incarnate himself because he could not bear the thought of an eternal life that didn't include all of the things that he truly loved. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.